let me clue you in. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, this is ESPN 97.5 KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, kids! Back on The Usual Suspects for hour number two. It's a way back Wednesday. Songs pre-2008 involving royalty, which would be title, artist, or, because Nick allows it, the slang version of royalty.
Right. Which well, I think Barry allowed it, too.
King of Pop.
Mm-hmm. Queen Bee.
Queen Bee. Queen of Soul.
Right.
When are you going to get your list completed? That way I can get my pity votes.
King of...
I've got one work wife. I don't need another one, Nick. Get off my back.
It's 2 hours into the show. Or 1 hour into the show.
Bitch.
Bro!
I didn't hear it. A threesome, bitch.
I didn't even hear that.
I didn't either.
You have two coffees every day.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Last Minute List Having Ass every week.
It was ready at 1 o'clock.
No, your list, you just got
I just
saying,
submitted it, but it's been ready since
no,
1 o'clock.
You were just at the break. I gotta get my eighth song. Man, you Clarence wants to talk to us. Let's go to his
hey,
before
guys.
I say
going?
Something I regret. What's up, Clarence?
Well, I just Why is it something you regret, Barry?
I'll say a curse word, Nick won't dump it, and then I'll get in trouble. That's why.
Make sure you dump them the entire time, Nick.
Yeah.
Just hold the button.
That's right.
We need our last line of security.
Yeah. But since America's favorite reality show is over now, let's talk about their record. I believe they're going to go 2-14. With the schedule that they have. Right out the gate, they're starting at Pittsburgh. Berkey Pittsburgh at New Orleans, and then the Jets. That'll go one win.
Well, week two is a win easy. So, I mean, it's just that week one where they get kind of, they stumble
Got
out of the gate.
Him.
So, oh, okay, Joel, okay.
So what are their, you're saying, like, all right, Clarence, you're saying their one win is versus the Jets. What's their other win?
Tampa Bay.
You think they beat the Bucs?
I don't think the Bucs have enough offense for Cleveland's improved defense.
Okay.
Other than that, they're playing the entire NFC South.
Yep.
They still have the AFC North they're playing. They're playing Kansas City. They're also playing Houston. I don't want to make anyone mad and say they're going to beat them.
No, they're not. Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm trying to find maybe a surprise win.
We had them at like five.
I would have even said maybe a team like the Broncos they sneak up on, but that's on the road.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Yeah. The Jets.
That's on the road.
Rookie quarterback.
I don't know.
What's that?
We said Jets is one of the wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on the road in December in Denver, maybe not. I mean, they might sneak up on the Bengals once. You know, I mean,
I was going to say the same thing. Within the division, yeah. The Bengals are a team that's on the decline where you might be able to catch them. But I said... You know, 4.5. I think between 4 and 5 wins was realistic. 2 might be a little low, but we'll see.
I want to say the last time I looked, Vegas had the over under on wins at 5.5, and I think pretty much all of us took the under.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think they'll win more than 2 games, but I don't think they win more than 5. I think I said 4 or 5 for the season. So still bad. Still bad.
What's amazing to me is how many people focused on Hard Knocks enough to say. That they were the fan favorite all of a sudden with bettors to win the division.
Yeah, that's
it's like Pittsburgh's
silly.
Still in that division.
Yeah, it's silly. And appreciate the call, Clarence. My thing is, when do you think? At what point during the season does Baker Mayfield take over? Does he take over, and at what point?
But I think it just depends on how Tyrod plays.
Okay.
I mean, if Taylor starts out of the gates and at least keeps them in ball games, then I think that. Wins and losses will dictate when Baker plays. If they're in games and they're competitive, I don't think they're going to make the change, at least not right away. And the other thing, key is how's their offensive line going to play? Because
right.
If their offensive line, when they lost one of the greatest linemen of all time in Joe Thomas, if their offensive line is making Taylor have to get out of the pocket a lot, your franchise quarterback does not need to be beat to hell right off the get.
So here's a scenario that might shape up or take place with that Browns team. They've got, before their bye week, their bye week is week 11. All right, going into that, it's Pittsburgh, New Orleans, the Jets, and then the Raiders, the Ravens, the Chargers, the Bucks, the Steelers, the Chiefs, and Atlanta. They might win two of those. They might be 2-8 going into their bye week. Okay, that's probably. Then they come back and they play at home against Cincinnati, and then they have another. Or I'm sorry, they're on the road against Cincinnati. That's a little bit different. But I could see them out of that bye week, week 12, Baker Mayfield gets a start.
Yeah, I mean, I think that too.
Because they probably are 2-8.
They're going to want to kind of get out to the fan base.
Yeah,
show what they have to look forward to. And look, obviously, Sam Darnold's the guy that everybody's looking at right now as a rookie starting from week one, and there's a lot of criticism going on there because the Jets seemed, a lot of people seem to think like if they didn't rush him in, might have a chance to be competitive in some games. But I mean, you don't want to have him, you know, take a beating. But if they can protect him, you know, the Cowboys did it when they first drafted Aikman. Lots of teams have done it right from the get to try and just see what they have. But if you're losing any kind of momentum and everybody's kind of losing, you know, any fading hopes and even watching the season, then you kind of drum it back up if you bring him back late. But
well, you keep them interested. You keep the fan base interested.
Right, that's
now,
what I mean.
Now, the only knock against that is their last six games, two of them are at home. So you're throwing him to the wolves, essentially, four road games against the Bengals, the Texans, the Broncos, and the Ravens to close out the season. So I don't know. Maybe it's not to that Carolina game at home in week 14.
Let's just say this, though. He's played well in the preseason.
He's
looked like he can handle it, which is good.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But again, I think that all the hype of, you know, sleeper to make the playoffs and, you know, one of the favorites with betters to all of a sudden win the division, that's all based on the hype they got off the show.
It usually is, though, right? Like Tampa, going into last season, everyone was pretty high on
playoff team, sleeper, Jameis Winston, possible
the
MVP.
Texans. Oh, yeah. Look at this. I think that through the magic of editing, people get a little, they get a skewed view of what that team looks like. And we talked about that after the first week of Hard Knocks, where when you see a montage of guys hitting, you know, tackling dummies and tackling them onto a pad, they're tackling a pad onto a bigger pad, like a high jump pad or whatever. That's a bit different than playing other NFL teams with other NFL players. So, I think Hard Knocks, though it's great, it can do a disservice on having people look at their team or these teams through rose-colored glasses. By the way, somebody said, I'm with Pac-Man Joe. I'll be watching the Packer game.
Thank you.
I probably will be watching football.
Thank you. It's not just football. It's America's team.
Somebody wants to know, what's y'all's score prediction for the Pats-Texans game this weekend? Nick's herpes ass has to answer, too.
Did it really say that?
Yes, I swear to God. It's exactly what it said. I don't know why that's taking off now. You're the one that brought that up, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about it. 24-13.
24-13 Texans.
Patriots win.
Texans, you said.
Patriots win. I don't think the Texans are going to win.
24-13.
Don't we normally do this later in the week?
Yeah, they just asked. Okay. I haven't thought of a score yet. I don't think the Texans win.
I don't think they get killed. I think they'll cover. I don't think they win.
I think they'll cover. Yeah. What's the line at now?
I have to look it up.
I think they'll cover.
Remember now, Deshaun's put points up against them before too.
Yeah.
So it could be higher scoring than you think. I think the Texans can put more than 13 on a team when Deshaun is playing the entire game.
That's not what I wanted. I was trying to pull up the line.
I'm going to go 27-21 Patriots.
27-21, huh?
Yep.
Okay. On the road?
-6.5 for the Patriots.
Yeah.
At home, according to CBS Sports.
Yeah. 27-21. That's pretty close to the line. I'm going to go 24-20 Patriots.
Okay.
So
we both had the Texans cover.
Yes.
All right.
But I'm not doing that in my pick'em, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, did you see what happened, dude? I picked Indiana over Florida International -10.5, and they went by 10.
Ooh.
I was so
that
angry.
Hurts.
So you were one of the losers this week, huh?
I mean, I Even AJ was asking me that question. My rationale was there was two games before where they were projected to blow them out, and they did. There was supposed to be a third game before this third game, but like there was a flood or something, and it got postponed. And they were projected to kill them then too. And then the same projection for this one. So I figured I was good, but no. Half a point. That's a bad beat. That should be on Scott Van Pelt's...
No, it's not a bad beat.
Bad beat.
That should be on Scott Van Pelt's bad beat segment.
That's a bad pick.
No, it's not.
It's not a bad beat.
Yeah, I've got to say.
A bad beat is when they're up by 11 and then... They're up by two and then there's a meaningless safety on a fumbled snap and a punt to end the game.
I'm texting Scott right now.
You just made a bad pick. There's a huge difference.
Did you get your pick right?
Yeah, I did.
You're still an idiot.
Oklahoma, suck it. So there you go. Somebody wanted to know, RW on the text line, how many weeks before Hugh Jackson gets fired? I think if they win a couple games, he's not getting fired. Because it's better than what they did last year.
Well, you can say it's progress. Because they didn't win a game last year. Exactly. So if they win a couple, but here's the thing, you just got to keep in mind, he is not Dorsey's guy. Dorsey was brought in as the general manager, and they retained Hugh Jackson.
That's true.
So if they start slumping, Dorsey's going to look for his guy.
That's a good point.
And you got two coordinators with massive egos that are outspoken as hell.
And one of them probably...
That's still going to... I really still believe that's Buddy Ryan and Kevin Gilbride waiting to happen.
You think so?
Although...
There was that moment
in the show last night where I was like, well, maybe they're a little friendlier than I had thought.
Yeah. And the moment you're talking about is when they were sitting at the right before
Haley
cuts.
Goes, you don't have a life.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, my schedule's been pretty crazy.
At least he showed compassion by saying I spent some time with my granddaughter.
Yeah.
Thought he could say I spent some time stabbing myself in the genitals with an ice pick because that dude is angry.
Yeah, he's very angry. Unreal. They both are. Hey, we've been talking a lot of football. I want to remind everybody, we didn't mention it yet, and we need to. Sarah Barshop's going to be joining us at 2:30 to talk Texans. So stick around for that. ESPN, is it beat writer?
Yeah, beat writer for ESPN.
Okay, so she'll be, I don't know what the proper term is because I know she covers them.
She is the Texans beat writer for ESPN.
All right, you would know better than me. I don't know this business. So Sarah joins us at 2:30.
Good get there. So if you guys have questions Texans related, we'll look them over, maybe work them in. In the meantime, Jay, we see you on the line. We're going to get you after the break and continue to roll on. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest? Well, join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. That's the HRP listener line. Or, of course, you can always hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday. The theme, royalty. Kings, queens, dukes. I don't know what you're doing right now, but you're doing a dance.
But you can go to
chair.
The video stream and witness ridiculousness.
Popping on a
some
pogo
sweet,
stick of desk chair.
Sweet, sweet ass moves. AJ said he heard us giving you a hard time about your pick.
Yeah.
That Fred was on the other side.
Right.
And won.
Yeah.
See? Not a bad beat, just a good pick.
You know what? You can eat it. You can eat it. AJ can eat it. All of them can eat it.
So basically, it's an all you can eat.
Nope.
Okay,
loved me some Billy Ocean back in the day.
Oh, dude.
No, I did not. I Googled this for sure.
I was about to agree with you. Billy Ocean was the stuff.
I knew this song, and my dad used to listen to this a lot. But
a lot of people loved them some Billy Ocean.
No, he's respected. No doubt. No doubt.
Another guy that had an overbite like an awning.
Now,
he and Freddie Mercury.
Is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Caribbean.
Caribbean Queen?
That's the way he pronounces it.
I think he says Caribbean Queen, right?
There's a lot of lyrics that are mushed together when they need it to follow a certain beat.
Because it's like when I got to do this Uruguay read. Is it Uruguay? Uruguay? You're going to get what you get with me. So.
Well, Eminem is notorious for like changing the way you pronounce a word to get it to rhyme.
Oh, look. Here you go. Look. Turn up. Oh, I missed it already.
Nice time.
Damn it, back
you're
it
like
up.
Robot run passes last night. Just a little late.
A little further. There we go, here we go. Caribbean Caribbean. Who says Caribbean?
He does.
He's just
he
trying
made it
to
work.
He's
do yeah. you, buddy. Do it your way.
That's good. That was good.
You won this round, Pac-Man Joel.
All right.
You want to do Jay's question about the... By the way, we're going to go to Jay now, but I just want to point out that AJ Hoffman, not a fan of the cutouts when he walked. He goes, what the hell is this? I said, yeah, it's like you're watching us and judging us all the time now. He was not a fan.
He already
either.
Does. Yeah, that's you mentioned. All right, Jay, get in here. What's up?
Jay.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Nah, man, that cutouts, y'all got to get rid of them. Right now I'm in Baytown. I'm going to the waste management. If you want, I can stop by, pick them up, and just throw them out there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Not a fan, and huh?
What don't you like about them, Jay?
And it's Caribbean.
Oh, see? See, no, there's no way, Jay. I can't. I'll mess that up. I can't roll my R's. That's part of the problem. It just sounds like...
Caribbean. Yeah. Say it. Caribbean.
No. Caribbean. Like, I'll have a lisp. I'll sound like Tyson.
It sounds like all a right. tribute.
Hey, nah. Those cutouts, get rid of them.
Okay.
The heads are too big. I can pick them up if y'all want me to. Take them to waste management, and we'll get rid of them.
Appreciate the call, Jay. We could turn them around, I guess.
No, it says don't.
Or we can
them.
Take more That's suggestions true. From the people
about what,
as to what think, we should do with the cutouts. Just
I
saying.
Might put them out in the pasture in the back because I've got a scarecrow problem. I can use them as a. I got crows everywhere, and I can use them as a scarecrow.
We used to put like a fake
as a disclaimer,
owl or something.
Anything
or fake...
and everything relating to the Blitz and negative comments are made by Barry Laminack and
Joel
Nick
Blank.
Sharara. This is not in any way,
Joel
shape,
Blank
or form
too.
Any comments that are endorsed by or believed in by Joel Blank. Thank you.
How are you going to recite a disclaimer? Yeah. Not be on our
just
side.
Just like that. Oh my God, be on your side. Stop it.
You want to take Eric's call?
Is it going to be good?
It's probably not, but it's a Cowboys call. I mean, we got to give Eric credit. He hasn't been silly like he used to be. He's asked poignant and very specific questions.
He
as
asked
of
him
late.
Or asked?
Asked. What did I say? Asked?
He asked him.
Well, okay.
Can I ask you a question?
No.
You chopped down my cherry tree?
No, I hate you.
Then you can use the axe.
Oh, God. I hate you so much right now. Eric, what's your question about the Cowboys, man? What's up? Save me, please.
Hey, guys. What do you think the Seahawks are going to get for Earl Thomas, honestly? I mean, the Cowboys already told them they'll give him a second-round pick. I mean,
it depends on the market, Eric. The biggest thing is if you saw what happened with Khalil Mack. Everybody thought the Raiders were crazy saying they wanted two number ones. What did they get? They got two number ones and some change. So it just depends on the market. I mean, if there's people out there, and obviously Khalil Mack's a lot younger, but Earl Thomas, we've said over and over again, if you don't want Earl Thomas, then something's wrong with you and your football team, because there's not a safety better in this league, I don't think. I think that the market will dictate it. If the Seahawks right now feel like they can get more than a two, well, then prove it. And at a certain amount of time, if they can't, then they come to a crossroads and either put up or shut up, pay them and keep them, or, let them go.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think that the deal will be done for the Cowboys by the end of this week, or are they going to wait a couple more weeks?
No, he's reporting. I appreciate the call.
He's reporting today, and I think they're going to wait it out at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, they want more. Whether they get more or not, I don't know. I would look at offering more, but what? You're going to give up a first-round pick for a safety?
Yeah, it's a lot different than giving up what you gave up for Khalil Mack and his dominance on every single snap.
Yeah, at a position at pass rush where everybody could – you just can't have enough pass rushers. So, yeah, I don't have a crystal ball to tell you what I think they could get, but maybe they're looking for multiple second-round picks. Maybe they're looking for multiple picks just in general. A second-round pick, maybe a fourth-round pick this year or next year or something like that. They swap.
I could see a highly competitive team like the Patriots.
Swapping with the Cowboys might be beneficial this year. I don't know if the Cowboys are going to be all that good.
I was going to say, but I could see a New England going, well, I'll give you a one because our one's going to be in the late stages. Yeah. But I'll give you that late-stage one if it means I bolster the back of my secondary like that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. But, look, the Seahawks basically are in rebuild. And you can see that by everything that they're doing and that they have done, and the Legion of Boom is over, and you know, it's, they won one, right? But you kind of roped them in with some of the teams that had all the talent in the world. The Niners recently that made all those runs but couldn't get over the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Atlanta Braves back in the day that had the pitching and had all the different teams with that had all the talent, but they won one.
Never won. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Seahawks had a run, and I think the run is over.
Well, I don't know if the run is over because
they don't have a running game.
No,
they don't have,
but
receivers.
You know what? They have one. They have the one position.
They got Russell Wilson covered.
They have the
right.
One position that you have to have covered if you're going to rebuild and rebuild quickly. And all it takes is a couple of free agents or a couple of draft picks to hit. I mean, it's not that hard to find a decent running back.
But defensively, think about all the guys that are.
They've
gone.
Lost a lot.
You know,
they've
Bennett
lost a lot.
And Irvin and Chancellor and all the different guys they've lost. Sherman. That you're like, man, that used to be a lockdown, arguably one of the better defenses.
They should have won, too,
time.
Honestly. They should have won,
too.
The New England game, obviously, was a bad one. But it's a completely different landscape now than it is back in 14 and 15 when they had all those names.
Yeah, no doubt. So. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're just getting to the midway point in the show. Nick will bring us back after the break, and we'll join the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Stay tuned. Sarah Barshop next. We'll talk Texans.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! 90 of the books, 90 still to go on the big show, right, Nick?
You got it. I approve.
Nothing to do with the front and rear. It's all about the 90 still to go in the big show. Second half begins here. It's the Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're joined now by ESPN Texans beat reporter, Sarah Barshop. She's a regular on the show. We appreciate her. Sarah, before we get into some football, I want you to know, Barry brought up a very disparaging comment.
Uh-oh.
About your university in my hometown. Barry.
What?
Did you want to fill Sarah in on your statistical data on the Marquette University? That
ooh,
you,
see, that's not nice.
Sarah, did you graduate from Marquette?
I did.
I got bad news. Now, I'm only bringing this up because Pac-Man Joel.
I had to bring it up because it concerns me.
Did you see the reports out about, we discussed this when, Nick,
Texas Tech,
Monday?
Yeah, it was Monday when Joel was at.
Monday
Day.
On our show, we were talking about Texas Tech. Sarah, I don't know if you know the rumors, but Texas Tech was known for not having the safest of relations amongst their student body. High STD count at Texas Tech. Turns out, the highest in the country, Marquette.
Ooh, that's not good for a Jesuit school.
No. Now, I didn't know it was a Jesuit school, but check this out. Three of the top 10 on that list besides Marquette, Notre Dame, SMU, and TCU. What's going on at faith-based schools?
There's something in common there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I'm surprised you guys are even asking Sarah about this. This is not a Sarah-like topic.
Talk to your man over there.
And by the way, according to her Twitter, it's ESPN NFL Nation reporter, not beat reporter.
Yeah.
Put some respect on her
Put
title.
Put some respect on it.
Are you done?
Yeah. Now y'all can talk.
Sarah, the other thing that I brought up, because it's not flattering, but you have to own up to the mistakes of Milwaukee, but Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment was right there by Marquette.
You know, Marquette is also known as the number one Catholic party school, I believe, while I was there. So I think people have chosen to focus on that instead of these other negative connotations with the city of Milwaukee and Marquette.
Party on. Absolutely. Now, I'm with you on that.
Are you from the area? Are you from there, Sarah?
I'm not. I'm from Virginia.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, very good. Well, let's talk Texans, shall we? I was scrolling through the timeline, and you have been pretty busy. As of late, I liked the fact that you went back to the Letterman jacket thing because we all know what happened with the Letterman jacket story and the Patriots. What was the research like? Did you have to talk to some folks, and how hesitant were they to even discuss this with you as you wrote this?
I think it was mostly just I saw the stats that they are 0-6 and stuff. That's crazy to me. They've played them that many times. They haven't won, even going before that. They have not beat the Patriots since 2009. It's the end of the 2009 season. And, in fact, I was talking to my editors, and they were like, oh, we remember this. We remember this. I was like, well, they have played since then three times in New England. But I thought it was fun to revisit, especially because I was looking back at J.J. Watt's quotes from 2016 when they played for the first time. And I remember that was my first season, and right at the beginning of the season, he was like, yeah, I hope I don't have that laying around anymore. Like, that was bad memories. I don't even want to think about that.
So you spent a whole lot of time getting through the dog days of training camp. What are your takeaways? We saw the cuts. We know what's going on with the team now getting into that New England game. But give me your biggest surprise of training camp and the thing that you're most pleased with this team heading into week one.
I think the biggest surprise is just the health of the team, because you look around NFL rosters everywhere, and that's not the case. I mean, things that you don't really have control over, but Jerick McKinnon tearing his ACL before the season starts. Things like that. The Texans really haven't had injuries like that. I think Whitney Merciless and Will Fuller, those are guys that if they had been regular season games instead of preseason games, I think they would have been out there. I think the Texans are being more precautious, which is smart, because as we saw last year, we know how important those guys and how big these injuries, what a big difference that makes with this team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just most surprised that they were able to make it through training camp. It was kind of a boring training camp, actually, because the Texans, I'm sure, are very happy about, because there just hasn't been a lot of news. Deshaun and JJ came in healthy, and they stayed healthy, which is good for the team. And then I think most pleasantly surprised is just watching how this defense has come together. I mean, we won't know until a real game. And who knows how long Merciless, J.J. Watt, and Clowney will be able to play together. But watching them in practice, it's been a lot of fun. And we watched them in that Rams game, and that was just Clowney and J.J. So I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch this defense come together. And, oh, by the way, you have maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL playing on the other side of the ball as well.
So let me parlay with one more on that one, though. What was your biggest disappointment through training camp?
I think I think the running game behind Lamar Miller, and part of that is just that your backup running back is injured and he's on the PUP list now. If Lamar Miller, I don't know what they're, I mean, maybe they won't give him the ball. They won't give him the ball 25 or 30 carries a game. Maybe they really will try and break it up with Alfred Blue. And he's had his moments. But I think this offense would have looked a lot better with Foreman out there. And I thought that maybe if he was close, they would have kept him, kind of what they did with Will Fuller last year, where they would have kept him on the roster and just eaten that roster spot and then hope to have him back within before the 6 weeks. But now he's not going to be out there until at least week 7. And I think that running game just looks totally different without the 1-2 punch of Foreman and Miller.
We talked a little bit earlier. You've been doing this now for a couple of years with the Texans. What is your sense of the mood in that locker room versus years past? Is there a quiet optimism? Is there some hesitation? What's the mood like in the Texans locker room? Kind of the unspoken mood that exists right now.
Well, I would say there's some cautious optimism. And they know how good they can be. They also remember those. They were 4-12 last year. And yeah, you can blame that on injuries and not having Deshaun out there. But I think they were pretty humbled by that last season. And so now going through this year, they know how good they can be if they can stay healthy. But they also know that's a big if.
Looking at the receiver position, we know Braxton Miller is not there anymore. You know that Kuti didn't get a lot of look with the offseason and training camp and everything like that with injury. What are you looking at with the receivers? Obviously, Fuller and D-Hop. But other than that, it seems like Deshaun has built quite a chemistry with Ellington.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to tell just because they weren't all out there. I mean, Will Fuller didn't play a single game, and so I think it's going to look a lot different with him and Hopkins out there. I think Cutie is really interesting to me because he really hasn't had that much time at practice, and we saw that Bill held him out of the games because he said, you know, he really wasn't out there that much. He was dealing with that hamstring injury. So I think there's a question mark with that. And because of that, I think you will see a lot more of Bruce Ellington. Like you said, he and Deshaun Watson seem to have built some good chemistry. But there's not a ton of depth at that position. I was surprised they cut Braxton Miller just because the people I talked to at training camp, including him, had said that he wasn't just a slot guy. They were playing him at all three positions. So I thought his versatility would have kept him a spot on the roster. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what that wide receiver group looks like to start week one.
Talk a little bit about the defense, specifically the secondary. The Texans went out and got Tyrann Mathieu in the offseason. What impact has he had? It's been kind of quiet, I think, for the most part. A lot of people, I mean, I think everyone realizes how big that signing was for this team, but what kind of impact is he having on that secondary and the guys around him?
It seems like he's really stepped into the leadership role. And I was talking to Jonathan Joseph, who I enjoy chatting with because I think he has a really good perspective of the locker room because he's been there so long. He was like, yeah, he's pretty quiet, but then when he gets on that field, you know, the honey badger really comes out. And that leadership role really, that is really a strength for him. So I think that is helping out. That's something that you say, well, yeah, there are a lot of leaders on this defense. How much does that matter? But when you look at what the secondary did last year, they were ranked 27th in passing defense, which a year before they was second in the league in that category, Romeo Crennel. So I think having Romeo back coaching the defense might make a difference. And I think having Tyrann Mathieu and just having a playmaker, which is something they haven't had in the secondary since A.J. Boyela, I think that'll make a big difference too.
All right, break it down for us. Big game, big weekend. All the Houston teams seem to be in Boston this weekend, but tell us what you see and how it plays out. Texans at Patriots.
If there is a game, if there's a chance for the Texans to win this game, I think it's good that it's week one, especially when you look at that Patriots roster and you wonder how all that turnover will affect them. But I don't know, this is the fourth game they've played in 3 years that I've seen, and I have seen in person. And after watching the first three, I think it's hard not to pick the Patriots. Now, if Deshaun can play as well as he did and that defense cannot make the mistakes against Tom Brady, sure, they have a shot to win. But I think until I see them actually do it, I'm going to have to get the Patriots to win.
Okay, you got a score for us?
I think we'll see two teams scoring in the 30s again. I mean, last year was 36-33 Patriots. And I think we'll see a similar score, high scoring game this time.
There you go. Sarah, nice. We sure do appreciate it. Have a safe travels. We look forward to catching up with you again. But follow her, please, at Sarah Barshop. She is ESPN's NFL Nation reporter covering your Houston Texans and a frequent friend of the show. Sarah, enjoy your weekend and go have some fun. Hopefully bring the Texans back a win.
Thank you. Happy game week, guys.
There you
Indeed.
Go. There we go. Sarah Barshop, a good follow. And she is right there every day with your Houston Texans. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It is the usual suspects. And right now, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Fitz Roofing. I know a lot of you are still digging out from the hurricane, still dealing with issues with your house. And on top of it, you got storm chasers and deposit thieves and sketchy roofers that are trying to get your money up front and then skipping out on you before they do any work. And it's just frustrating, and it's financially draining, and it's not good for anybody involved. Well, Fitz Roofing is a locally owned and operated roofing company that is here for you in all of the suburban areas and the metropolitan area of Houston, and they want to do work for you. They use high-quality shingles like CertainTeed shingles. They're also CertainTeed Select Shingle Masters when it comes to only 1% of the roofers in the United States that meet the criteria to attain the elite status of being a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master. Well, guess what? Fitz Roofing has that classification. Their base warranty is longer than your average roofer can give you. Not only do they an outstanding job on your roof, it's serviced before, during, and after the sale. They're going to actually give you free, no obligation inspections. They're going to come to you. They're going to take a look at what you got. They're going to tell you what they can do and how much it'll cost, and then they're going to go away. If you want them, you contact them. They'll be there for you. Check them out at fitzroofing.com or call them at 832-521-3001. That's 832-521-3001 to set up that free, no obligation inspection. But make sure you realize they are dedicated to the Houston area. They're not going anywhere. They have incredible ratings, like an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. They are going to make sure that they aren't going anywhere. And before, during, or after they work on your roof, if you have questions, if you have comments, if you want things done, fixed, or done a different way, they're going to be there for you. And not only that, they show you their dedication to the community by creating their nonprofit called fits for families. They give 10% of all their profits back to the community in the means of money going to help people who have financial needs that can't afford roofing but need roofing for their house. They take care of those people with this nonprofit. It's just another way that they show you they are a solidified company in the Houston area that's not going anywhere, that's only focused on making sure they do quality work and are dedicated to the people of Houston and the suburban areas. So check them out, please. FitzRoofing.com or give them a call, 832-521-3000. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Knee deep in hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, we will be joined by the Sports Mappers on 94.1 at 3 o'clock for the final 60 minutes. And, of course, you can always download the app and take us everywhere, anywhere, never have a signal issue, crystal clear quality. And we go across state lines when you download the app. So you can do that, ESPN975.com. And get with the program, people.
That's every right. Day.
Get with the program. See what I did there?
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. Can I ask you this? I had it on the list yesterday of things to get to. I said it's a list, Brent. But we didn't get to it. I want to get to it now because it's an oddity, but it's something that okay. We kind of have a tendency to talk about because we get into the foodies every now and then, right?
Yes.
But in speaking about tennis earlier, the ESPN coverage of the U.S. Open in New York in Flushing Meadows, they were showing the other day the crowd in and around the concession areas around the tennis area. They showed a woman with two children indulging in some chicken fingers.
Uh-huh.
The announcers had to point out, and I'm glad they did, that the woman, which turned out to be the aunt of her two nephews, decided to dip her chicken fingers in her Coke before she ate them.
In her soda.
So she's dipping chicken fingers in soda. How does that help the chicken finger? Why are you doing such outlandish things?
The only thing I could think that the only reason that you would do that is they're the driest chicken fingers you've ever had, and you're like, and the most expensive because they're probably not cheap at the U.S.
But you can't get honey mustard or barbecue sauce or ketchup.
I mean, you're wearing white, probably. It's tennis. There's a lot of they wear white, don't they?
So soda's brown.
Well. I'm reaching here. I got nothing. There's no good reason you could give me to dunk a chicken finger in a soda. There are people that will dip their fries in like a milkshake or a Frosty, and those people can go to hell too. But I kind of get it a little bit.
I don't.
Well,
not even close.
The Frosty, the milkshake thing, the fries, I'm okay with it.
I still say they can go to hell, but it's kind of weird.
Y'all know me. I'm going to ketchup if I'm going to anything.
Yeah, yeah. We know that.
Yeah,
you but, would dip so a they got this woman on Good Day New York yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And she said, in just kind of in quick summary, one, that she's a very weird eater and so is her dad. She threw her dad under the bus.
To say the least, she's a weird eater.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, I'm just, you just said
she's... Yeah, I mean, she said, I started out by talking to the boys and telling them, this is a secret. I don't want anybody else to know, but this is something that I've done for a long time, and I'm going to let you guys in on it. And then, lo and behold, she starts getting text messages from her friends that go, hey, why are you on ESPN, and why are they talking about you dipping chicken fingers in soda? And she was mortified. Now she's got her 15 seconds of fame or 15 minutes of fame, so you can get her on your podcast.
Oh, there you go. See?
I'm thinking for you.
Yeah.
But she said, I did it frequently growing up, dipping the chicken fingers in soda, and I still do it sometimes at stadiums. And I started by saying, I'm going to do something. It's a big secret. Don't tell your parents. I'm really embarrassed by it, but it's a secret. Well, it ain't anymore.
No, which I find, I didn't know that part of the story. I think it's hilarious that she was trying to hide it, and they they got it on camera. That makes it even better because,
yeah.
you know, it's like
she's
one
obviously
of those,
embarrassed.
It's like when you fart on an elevator, you're like, oh, I got three floors. Bing. Oh, no. And then the doors open and there you are. You and your fart. You're just wallowing in it. And then people are getting on the elevator going, this guy crapped his pants, apparently, because you didn't think you were going to stop.
Yeah.
Same thing. I love it. But it you know, there are people out there that probably do something like that or worse.
Yeah.
But you don't want it seen. So I just, man, that brings me so much joy.
Yeah, because she said, of course, and the next thing you know,
she was trying to hide
it's
it.
The social media warriors. She said people are telling her she should go to jail for the injustice of dipping chicken fingers and stuff.
See, I bet you Sean Salisbury would be completely cool with her. He's the most open-minded person when it comes down to food.
Yeah.
He'd be open to try it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was talking about, like, brown sugar and sour cream once. He's like, just try it, Nick. Just
what?
Try it. Yep. And he was confident. He was on the
what?
Air talking about it, too. Yeah.
Brown sugar and sour
cream. One of the
cream.
Interns tried it and said it wasn't that bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Some people are, you know, they want something. They just want to try something different. They don't want to taste the same thing over and over again.
I could not say it. I can tell you, I do not want to ever try that.
What's the weirdest thing you do with your food?
Well, I mean,
it's
got to
be the ketchup.
Not you sexually. Hammer me with ketchup on grilled cheese.
Okay. Is that the weirdest?
I probably.
Peanut butter, probably, if you're going to ask me, Barry.
You
looked right at me. You looked right at me, and you're like, well, we know what Barry or Nick is going to do. Shut up, man. Don't even.
Nick puts peanut butter on his dog biscuits.
Get out of here. Your nonsense. We got to go to break. 30 seconds.
No, I wanted to know, like, what's the weirdest thing you do? Well, you know what? Fine. We'll do it on the other side.
He puts peanut butter on hamburgers.
Yeah.
That's a travesty.
I mean, I don't. I had a hamburger with peanut butter on
it. That is a travesty.
In Tulsa.
Yep.
But that's not the weirdest thing that I do. Like, she didn't order a chicken finger Coke. Like, she dipped it like she did that. Like
it's
you can
still
go
a stupid thing
no,
to
but
do.
But listen, you can. I know. But what I'm saying is, you can go to Tulsa, and the guy was like, "You have to try this burger. They make it with peanut butter, so it's not something that I'm not making hamburgers and slapping peanut butter on it all the time.
I think you do.
I tried it. I liked it. You. One thing you do is you put ketchup on a grilled cheese. So I'm asking you, what's the weird thing you do with your food?
I don't know. I can't
what
think
do you
of
do?
Something. I mean,
I do two different things. But we got to go to break, so I'll do it. I'll do it after the break. It's trust me, you're both gonna. I'm never gonna hear the end of this. I'll say that.
I like it.
But you guys know that I'm an open book on this show, and I'll share with you. But this, I think this might be worse than chicken fingers in the soda.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. Stay tuned for that, as well as hour number three. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.